You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, I'm the co-host of this wonderful show. And on today's podcast, I will be breaking down Malcolm Brogdon's 2019-20 season. We will do his highs and lows of the season, where he played his best, where he played his worst, and then do three lingering questions. I've done the same format for my shows. So if you listen to any of these other player reviews, which we now I think we've done about 10 to 11 of them at this point, go check those out on our feed, wherever you listen to this podcast. But before we get to that, I just wanted to say that it looks like we are finally rounding the corner on an NBA owners and NBA PA or MBPA negotiations kind of wrapping up or kind of on a specific start date and season and whatnot. It looks like there will be a 72-game regular season starting December 22nd. It's unclear if there'll be East-West games, how they'll play, where they played in kind of pod bubble format. It's looks like they're leaning towards a sort of you're going to play in your home stadium sometimes on the road, but maybe less travel. So maybe you play the teams in your division, let's say like 8 times instead of the usual 4. Maybe you play conference games against 6 teams. Like I said, no East-West games. The cap will artificially stay the same, it sounds like, at 109 roughly, but there will obviously be some money withheld in terms of escrow and some flattening of the cap in the next couple years to make up for any lost revenue and to not, you know, because by the NBA agreement, it's about a 50-50 split in revenue. So if that was kind of where you were going by, then the players would see a significant drop in their cap if revenue drops, let's say, 30% next year, like some of the league are projecting. So they're going to artificially keep the cap up in anticipation of that happening over time and whatnot, and then they'll kind of keep it flat for a few years going forward. The big thing, though, that affects the Pacers and really Indianapolis is that it looks like an All-Star game probably is not going to happen, or at least happen in the format that we know about. So the All-Star game is scheduled for February 12th through 14th. That is definitely not going to happen at this point. I mean, that is, if it happens, it'll be in March. It doesn't make a lot of sense to play an All-Star game, bring everybody to, you know, you're trying to sequester teams into divisions, into, you know, conferences in some way, so that if there's an outbreak, you can kind of isolate it to just those set of teams that played so many games. And obviously you don't want that to bleed over, across conferences. And obviously if you bring in 24, you know, players plus coaches and all that stuff to a single place that are all, you know, you're risking a lot with one person has COVID and they all have COVID and then your whole league is shut down, especially when your best 24 players aren't playing. So I don't know what they're going to do with that, but kind of sad, I guess, for Indianapolis. You know, I believe it was the first All-Star game the Indiana was going to host. Indianapolis is a great city for hosting events. Even in February, the next Super Bowl was a great Super Bowl when they hosted, I think, 8 years ago now. So that sucks. Hopefully they'll get another one in the future when this, you know, COVID stuff ends, but we'll see. But now on to Brogdon's season review. But first, let's take a quick break and go to our wonderful sponsors over at BuiltGo.com. BuiltGo is a wonderful G pack. It helps you break through that midday wall, whether it's mental or physical. It's the best thing to get you going every single day. It's easy to take. It comes in this 1.5-ounce package that fits in everything from your backpack to briefcase to golf bag. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's kind of like a 5-hour energy without the same crash, but has a natural, better feeling for your body. It comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, or chocolate mint. It combines energy gel with some collagen proteins. It's fast absorbing and gets into your system and is easy on your stomach. It's a little kick of caffeine, which I've always said is something you need before a workout. I'm a big fan of not chugging a whole cup of coffee, but, you know, getting a little bit of coffee, a couple sips in, just getting a little boost before your workout to kind of get the energy flowing. And so BuiltGo is a perfect way to do that. You know, you can use pre-workout, pre-day, whenever you want. Whenever you need a little energy, you can use a BuiltGo. And right now, if you go to BuiltGo.com, use promo code LOCKED, that's LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. So Malcolm Brogdon's 2019-20 season was, I would say, career-changing in some way, right? So he goes from being a shooting guard, off-ball guard, corner, 3, sometimes even playing small forward with the Milwaukee Bucks, to becoming the Pacers' primary point guard. He plays, I think, most of his minutes at the point guard spot, if not, you know, ends up playing about half his minutes at point guard versus he's never played more than, you know, 18%. And really, by his last year in Milwaukee, he was playing two-thirds at shooting guard and half at small forward, or another third at small forward. The Pacers was kind of a 50-50 split, somewhere which is a lot for him. He had a career-high usage rate. Looking at sort of a percentage, I'm at 25.2%, which is by and away breaks through his career high of about 20% the year before. And he goes from being, you know, a very good third piece on a championship team to a borderline all-star-ish player. I think we might over-exaggerate how close he can be an all-star. I think he had a really good start to the season, and I bought into a lot more hype than I probably should have at the time. And then he kind of leveled out and had a good season, right? So he finished with 16.5 points per game on 7.1 assists, both career highs. He nearly doubled his career high in assists per game. Five rebounds on top of that, and he shot 43.8% from the field and 32.6% from three. So not the best shooting percentages, but considering the spots he was playing in, he was kind of, until really the bubble where it became kind of a warm victim, he was sort of their bailout shot taker. So taking a lot of, you know, tougher looks, whether that is kind of pull up threes from maybe 25 feet instead of 22 in the corner, having to kind of drive on guys and try to, you know, throw up a layup at the last second. So the good stat line considering the spots he was put in, he nearly shot 90% from the line. You know, he's one of the best free throw shooters in the league and continued to be this last season. And I think this is a good start for him at the point guard spot, right? I think he's likely to be the Pacers' sort of pseudo point guard going forward. Obviously, when you have Vic and you've got him and you've got Sabonis can kind of have the ball in his hands, and then you add in, you know, Aaron Holiday off the bench, stuff like that. Like, he's not going to play a point guard 100% of the time, but he's going to be their starting point guard and probably the guy with the ball in his hands at the end of a game, if not Vic, depending on where Vic comes back. Because, I mean, the most effective play for the Pacers in 2019-20, I think you could say, was the Sabonis-Brogdon pick and roll. It's points per try, whatever, were the highest. I think Warren had a pretty good shot when he just put the ball in his hands and let him go to the rim. He had a pretty high percentage in that kind of game, just because, especially in the bubble where he just shot incredible for those basically first six games. But, you know, the Brogdon Sabonis play was kind of their go-to clutch moment play. Not a super creative play. I mean, just kind of a traditional play when you have a really good big and a really good kind of guard who can see the floor and whatnot. Brogdon's assist totals, like I said, were double his previous career high. And I think that's the first place you look at for a guy who's sort of continually improving, right? He clearly has the vision to be a point guard, right? I think there were some concerns. Would he have the vision? Could he have, did he have the shot without Giannis to be, you know, kind of a number one or number two option? I think it became pretty clear after this year that he, I don't think he's a one option, but he can be a 1B, a high two. I mean, he's a very good player. He had a pretty good playoffs, in my opinion. Obviously, it wasn't like perfect because they didn't win a playoff game, but he put up 22 in the first game, 17 in the second, 34 in the third, and 13 in the last one. The last one not great, but he had a really good game three, I thought, and kind of almost willed them to that win that came back late third, early fourth quarter in that game, if you don't remember. Throughout the year, right, I mean, he was kind of there at times just kind of steady hand, right? He was consistently, like I said, putting up, you know, good assist numbers. Even if he had bad shooting night, it was nice assist numbers. I mean, he started off the season really well. If I had to pinpoint his best game, you know, it either happened really early in the year. So one game I will point to in the bubble for sure was that Lakers game, right? I think the Pacers in this game was the game that Warren, Oladipo, and Brogdon all played amazing and each had like 24 or 25 plus points. And I thought Brogdon was especially good in that game with 24 points on 4 of 6 from 3, 8 of 13 from the field, and throwing 6 assists and 5 rebounds. Just a really good night, and that helped them be out to the future NBA champions. Now, that was a game where Anthony Davis played so bad, I don't think it would have mattered. But out of that was Pacers' kind of best, you know, post-normal regular season game. Brogdon had a couple 30-point games early on. He was especially hot to start the year, right? He had 30 points against Cleveland in Game 2 of the season, and then he had 31 against Charlotte in that overtime game they lost, ultimately. You know, you could point to that Philly game where they ended up losing, where I thought he played really well with 28 points and 6 assists on 9 of 15 shooting. You know, he just had a lot. To me, there's a lot of games you can point out where he played well. The Boston game, the same reason when they kind of beat Boston early in the year. You know, he missed a couple of stretches, and that's where I think you kind of knock him, is he had some issues staying healthy. He ended up only playing, I think, 54 regular season games out of 73. So that means he ended up playing 58 of the 77 games he ended up playing. And that's not terrible, but that, you know, for a guy who, you know, could be the franchise player or one of the two franchise players and should be, you know, like I said, a borderline two or three option, on the team, you like him to play more like 70 games of an 82-game season. So if they play 72 games this year, you like to see him play 60. I think it's a fair number for him. And with that, I think for him, it's figuring out the right rest patterns for him. He just clearly has kind of some, you know, he had some neck issues and some back issues this year. And I think he has trouble. I mean, at least it wasn't his foot, right? That had been the big thing before. So the Pacers, why he got to the Pacers in the first place was they were concerned about his foot and longevity. And, you know, I don't think I have any concerns about that. It's just, can he have a year where maybe he just stays a little healthier? He's going to miss games. Everybody misses games, but maybe he only misses about a handful instead of, you know, a little over two dozen games like he did this year. So that would be my only, like, major hope for him. I think, though, what he did prove this year is the Pacers' free agent signing or whatever, sign-and-trade. I know it was technically a sign-and-trade because they tendered him, but then they got the Bucks to waive the tender because they gave him a first, second-round pick, which they're going to pay most of it this year in the first-round pick. I think he's their best kind of signing maybe ever. I mean, David West is still, you know, probably in that number one spot for now, but Brogdon clearly is most potential, right? When they got West, they're looking at a guy toward of kind of end of peak where he was just going to help kind of elevate the Pacers from like a really good team to maybe a great team, where Brogdon's sort of this guy that could have that situation but really is going to be a cornerstone of this team at least the next three seasons that he's under contract, if not more. And you're getting him right for his prime, which is really good. And he, you know, I do believe if he is your second option, you can win a championship, especially if you're building a, you know, I think there is, I could talk myself into like the Sabonis, Oladipo at his peak and Brogdon together as being a very good kind of trio. One, because Brogdon kind of fits in any situation, right? We've seen him play like last year as a main point guard, which he won't have to do as much this year, just because there should be some other guys that can put up points, or he can be the third guy in the option and get in the corner, or he can come in like when Eric Bledsoe was sucking so bad in the playoffs a couple years ago and kind of be your number two at times next to Chris Middleton like he was. And he can fit in a lot of situations, and that's super important going forward because I think they're definitely going to do something new this year with the new coach, whether that's, you know, have the ball in Vic's hands more and have Brogdon play off the ball, but Brogdon can guard 1 through 3, which is super helpful, and a good defender. And he, you know, and at the worst, he's a guy where if a couple guys are hurt or Oladipo's tired, you can say, hey, Brogdon, have the ball and, you know, run the pick and roll as a bonus or run a play and try to find Warren cutting and whatnot. Like, he can just do those things, which is nice to have. He's just like a competent, smart player and who can play at times at a very high level, right? I don't think he can, you know, consistently go toe-to-toe with the best players, but, you know, in a playoff series, could he put up 2 or 3 games where he is considered maybe one of the best 3 players in a series? I could definitely see that, if not top 2. Be the Pacers' best player for a couple games in a series, for sure. So, you know, if you can't tell, I'm a big fan of Brogdon. I think it was a really good signing. I don't think he'll ever be really like a 20-point-a-game kind of guy, but he's the kind of guy, too, who kind of works his ass off and will get better. You can kind of see it pretty much every year he's been in the league, he's gotten better. He came in the league so late, too, at the age of 24, right? So, remember, he's only in his 4th season, but you think of him as a veteran because he's one super mature and he's 27 years old. But on that progression, I mean, he could, you know, you see guys usually 3rd, 4th, 5th season when they kind of elevate from, you know, average status, let's say, to like kind of elite status. And I think he's sort of getting there, right? He had a really good, obviously, 18-19. I think that's probably his best season of his career, shooting 50-40-90 that year on nearly 16 points per game. He's got to get those percentages up. He's got to find a way to get a little more efficient shots here or there. But, you know, if he just, you know, I think if he takes maybe 12 shots per game and gets percentages up to maybe more like, let's say, 47 and 35, then you're looking at a guy who probably, you know, scores 17, 18 points per game. And that's, you know, that's a borderline all-star. I mean, the point guard position is just so deep in the NBA. Across the board, it's going to be hard for him to crack in that all-star lineup, especially if Vic comes back at a really high level. But, you know, I just like Brogdon. I think overall, his 2019-20 season was very encouraging on what he can do, and we'll see if he can kind of build on it and stay healthy. I mean, that's the other key. Can he stay healthy for a good amount of games? And if he can, you know, I think the team is going to be pretty decent next year, and I hope they figure out a way to kind of either play him less minutes to get him more rest or whatnot, or figure out how to rest him correctly, just so he ends up, you know, doesn't have, you know, these weird games where he gets hurt because he's playing too much on a bad back or whatnot, or they don't rely on him too much, but they have to overexert him in the regular season. So, all right, let's take one quick other break, and I'm going to do the 3 lingering questions I have on Malcolm Brogdon. So question number 1, it's a pretty easy one. Can he become an even better shooter, or more likely can he become back to his old shooting ways? And the answer to this one is, I would think yes. I think this year was an adjustment. He was, you know, becoming the focal point of defenses versus not at all being paid attention to. I don't think he'll get up to 50-40-90 ever again. I mean, I think playing next to a guy like Giannis and Middleton, you know, artificially boost your shooting percentages by, let's say, 20% apiece. But I think he can be a close to 40% three-point shooter, high 40s two-point shooter, you know, field goal percentage. And obviously, I think he can shoot 90 from the line. He basically did that this year, 89.2. And so I wouldn't be surprised next year if we see him, you know, in 30 minutes, you know, taking 12 shots, like I said before, taking 12 shots and putting up those kind of stat lines. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up getting closer to 50% next year than, you know, we thought was possible. And part of that is because he's going to play with some more stable cast at the tail, right? I think Oladipo, Sabonis, and Warren provide a really huge offensive kick. And if those guys, you know, I think of those four guys at times, I might even think Brogdon is the worst guy of those four at times offensively, right? I mean, Warren showed kind of in the bubble that he can be a crazy awesome shooter sometimes, or, you know, obviously he can kind of disappear. But if he's on a hot streak and Oladipo's, you know, back to some level, I mean, at least Brogdon's the third option, and Sabonis is, you know, just a really good, you know, I wouldn't call him the first option ever, but like the second option on like a bailout play or a pick and roll or pick and pop or screen and roll, whatever. He can always get you that, you know, get some points for himself that way and becomes a focal point just because he's constantly moving when he's on the court. So, yeah, I think he'll get a shooting percentage back. I don't think he'll ever be a 50-40-90 guy again, but I think we could expect somewhere in the high 40s and high 30s from the three-point line and field goal percentage. The number two question I have on him, lingering for me, is are we sold on him being a point guard? And this is an interesting one because I don't think he's going to play as much point guard this season than he did last season. Now, I think the Pacers' best move going forward is to find a third guard to pair with him and Oladipo and Warren and Sabonis in the starting lineup. Don't know if they're going to do that. You know, I've made enough. You can listen to previous podcasts and see how much I want that to happen. But I what I could see is him having the ball in his hand instead of 50-50 split between point guard, shooting guard, maybe like a 40-60 split. And simply is because I think they could play more lineups with Aaron Holiday in, which would put the ball maybe in Holiday's hands more or put the ball in Vic's hands more. Because Barton is a very good kind of corner three shooter. And I think, you know, it's a balance with him, right? Because he is so good at seeing the floor that you want the ball in his hands and have him driving and finding guys on, you know, on the outlet or whatnot. And Vic also is a great corner three, at least he was before he got hurt. And so maybe you're better off just doing that. But also at the same time, if Vic can get his handle back and be okay at finding the outlet pass, you could kind of do a rotating thing where Vic, you know, drives the rim, kicks it out, and Barton does the next play and so on and so on. And so, you know, 50-50 probably seems kind of more accurate. I don't know. I mean, I could see it going down a little bit, but I am sold on him being able to play point guard for 40, you know, plus percent of his minutes, right? I think there's no problem with me where I'm thinking, oh, the ball shouldn't be in his hands because he is very effective with it. He's efficient, right? He had 7 assists on 2.4 turnovers, so that's about 3-1, 3.5-1 the turnover ratio, which is pretty solid. I think, you know, the best we've seen in a Pacers uniform is Darren Collison had like a 4-1 ratio, which is, I think he had 8 assists to 2 turnovers per game. So he's not like crazy, you know, Barnes is not crazy with the turnovers, and he can easily find guys in the right spots to rack up those assists. The third question I had, and this is probably one I've kind of already hit a bunch, but can he play with Vic? And I think this is the one I don't want to answer because I think that's the one to look for going forward. They got him because they wanted him to be paired with Vic. That's why I don't think they're going to trade Vic, because I think at the worst case, they should just see how this works, because he made all these moves to get Brogdon. I assume to play with Vic because he's a good complementary piece. I think he fits better next to Vic than any of the guys they had previously, including Darren Collison and Bojan. I think this team has a chance to be a pretty special offensive team, even if they, you know, bring back the, you know, the five starters per se, we say, right? Even if the starting lineup is Brogdon, Oladipo, Warren, Turner, Sabonis, because, you know, with the four guys who can shoot threes, and then you throw Sabonis as kind of a roving, you know, screen setter and pick and roll guy and all that kind of stuff, I think they have a chance to be a very, very good offense. As long as they take more threes than they did last year, you know, be willing to take a ton of threes and hunt for more efficient shots, right? I think the Pacers were a really good offensive team off the bench last year because they took a lot of threes and hunted for efficient shots. And I think the starters were not as good at that. And I think that is Nate McMillan's system. And so even if, like I said, if they don't make any major moves, I do think he can. I want to see if he can play next to Vic and how they play off each other, because we saw a little bit of that in the playoffs. And it kind of worked when they ran some of those kind of, I guess I keep calling them figure eight, where they kind of dive and pass. And it kind of worked to create space. But I think there's more you could do there when you throw Sabonis in. And, you know, there's some kind of thing where you can put Vic and Brogdon in a pick and roll in themselves. And how could that work? I mean, I think there's a lot of options there. And I'd just love to see how they play off each other, because They're just the two most talented offensive players on the Pacers when it comes just to pure talent. If Vic obviously is returning at a level that we hope he does, sort of 2017-18 form, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, we're not too far away. Like I said, we are now counting down to about 45 days to the regular season starts, roughly. So we are getting awfully close to a regular season, or maybe I'm wrong. 43 days to the regular to the start of the regular season, which is happening very soon. So look forward to that. I believe tomorrow.